You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
My word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this evening edition of Thy Word is a Lamb. Praise God. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. And you are listening on 89.9 WCNO FM. And tonight we have a special program lined up for you. We have a medical personnel with us tonight, and we're just going to go right into our program. But before we do that, we're going to ask the well-known voice you always been listening to every week. Today, we're going to ask her to pray the opening prayer, and we just roll right into our program. Sister Sheila.
Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We honor you for who you are. We give you all the glory that belongs to your great name. We praise you, O God, for you are worthy of praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for this opportunity to be here this evening. O God, to go, O God, into our program. O God, thy word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So we just thank you right now for this privilege, O God, to share your word, Almighty God. Father God, even though we are coming, O God, in a different fashion, Father God, your desire is for us to be whole in every area of our life. So as we come, O God, Almighty Lord, to listen, O God, to the medical doctor, we pray in the name of Jesus, O God, that our hearts will be in tune to what you are saying to us in this season. And we pray in the name of Jesus that we will not just be hearers, but we will be doers, O God, Almighty Lord, of your word. So we just thank you again for this evening. We thank you, O God, for our doctor with us this evening. We thank you for everyone that is present here. And we pray in the name of Jesus, mighty God, that you, O God, will lead and guide us into all truth. So we just thank you for what you have done, what you're doing, what you're about to do, O God. And may you continue, O God, to lead and guide us into every area of our lives. Lord, we look to you and we give you thanks and praise. And we pray in Jesus' name and we say amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. As I say, welcome everybody to WCNO 89.9 FM. And we thank you very much. We thank you very much, Karen, for making this possible, and everybody else who is here working behind the scene. And we're not going to, waste any time, so to speak. So we're going to just introduce our doctor here, ladies and gentlemen, Radio Land. And also, we have a number here for you all, 772-221-1100 for those who will be calling in. And we, no further ado, will just ask and introduce our guest for the evening, Dr. Dwight Dawkins. Sir, just go ahead and take liberty. All right, God bless you.
Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure for me to be here in this fashion, and also just encourage you to do go ahead and call in. Just want to acknowledge the radio station. I've listened to it, and it's amazing to actually come and be in the presence and actually be participating. To God be the glory. First, wanted to start off by talking about creation itself. You know, one of the first things that a person needs to realize is, of course, to be healthy, you have to know what your purpose is. You have to know what it is. If you see a car going down the road on two wheels, you'd be like, something is wrong. That car is not acting and fulfilling the purpose of which it was made. And so you find that to understand your purpose, you really have to understand a number of things. And you find we are created with the desire to answer certain questions or to have certain questions answered. You know, why were we created? Who created us? And what is our ultimate purpose? So I'm going to deal with health from kind of a different aspect and actually talk about even my own journey. You know, while I was in medical school, I was asked to speak on health, and you know, when I just came out, the first thing I thought about was people wanted to know how is it that they're going to live as long as they possibly can. And so the first thing I dealt with was, you know, let's think about all the different things that people die from, you know, the number one, number two, number three diseases. And if we can affect that, then of course you say, oh yes, you're healthy, you know, I'm not dying. And so, you know, we dealt with that. And many people, that's actually what they expected. They expected to hear a speech on, you know, how to fight high heart disease, which, you know, is the number one, how to beat cancer, how to deal with hypertension, stroke, diabetes, and all these different risk factors, who for many of you, I'm sure, as you go to your doctors, you find that these are the things that they kind of focus on. And over time, I realized that there was other aspects of health that really weren't necessarily addressed. And even people themselves, as they were there, weren't actually thinking of it and, you know, attributing it with actually a part of health that was important. And so I realized that mental health also is something that needed to be addressed. You know, the body may be physically well, but the mind. And the reason why that's even a little bit more difficult to address is because a person may look well, you know, no physical issues. If they go to the physician examines them and do blood work and everything comes out okay, but yet still the person is suffering in silence. And even though you can't see it, you find that it is something that is deadly. Many people commit suicide. And so I realized after physical health, then of course you had issues such as mental health to deal with. And we'll touch base on that as we go through the creation story itself. And then after dealing with that, I realized that there are people who are both physically well and mentally well, but there's something that they themselves realize that they're lacking, and that aspect has to do with their spiritual health. And when you look at the hierarchy of it, you actually realize that the most important aspect of health really ends up being the spiritual health, even though many people don't realize that. And then, of course, the mental health, and then your physical health. So we actually kind of have it backwards. So let's start with the creation story. The first thing we have to realize is, of course, who is it that created us? What occurred? And, you know, there are two basic thought process or two basic philosophy as far as that's concerned. And when I say two basic ones, one is creation, talked about in Genesis. You know, for God so loved us, of course, and he actually created. So when you start with Genesis 1, it talks about how God called things into being. And it talks about in the beginning, of course, it was dark. The earth was, you know, without form and void. And then you find that God did certain things as far as creating, separating the land from the sea. He made the firmament, the animals, and he created a garden in which that he gave man dominion over and to actually occupy and live. During that whole process, he told man exactly what their diet would be. You know, as you read through it, he says, verses 27, Genesis 1 verses 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is a fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast and to of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherefore or wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. So here God created, and he went ahead and actually told us what our initial diet would be. He said that, listen, anything that has a seed, anything that was a fruit. And why that's important is when you think about the Garden of Eden and the perfect environment of the world that here God called, and every day he said it is good. When he created man, he says it's very good. You understand that nothing died to sustain life. I mean, that's a principle that many people don't even think about. Nothing died to sustain life. So when you think about a tree that has a fruit, that has a seed, as you eat the fruit, you drop the seed, and in certain places, like, you know, let's say, for instance, Jamaica, where the soil is so fruitful, you drop the seed, and all of a sudden, you have a whole new tree that is coming to being with production, of course, of fruit. So God took time to actually instruct us. As you continue to read, it talks about how, you know, he told them one thing that would have caused a disruption in that unity between himself and mankind, and that is that tree. He said, do not eat of the tree that's in the mid, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You find that's all he said that would have caused some sort of interruption. Of course, he gave other rules, such as be fruitful and multiply, and of course, you know, that's replenishing the earth. And so, of course, when you actually look at what it says there, do not eat of that tree, because if you eat of it, you will die. Now, interestingly, when you consider, here was a perfect environment. Nothing had died before. The concept of death, really and truly, Adam and Eve had no understanding. All they knew was that, listen, the one who created told us that if we eat of it, we should die. Essentially, they realized it was a warning of itself. And he actually had a discussion. God had a discussion with the individuals. And when I say he had a discussion, when you look at it, God created Adam first. Adam himself was there. God would have talked to him. He didn't have the wife or anybody around. And God actually made it so. So when he actually realized that he was alone after seeing all the other animals coming in by pairs, then he realized, of course, that he really was is complete, but not necessarily as complete as he could be. God put him to sleep, and God took the rib, performed the first surgery, and from the rib he created Eve. Now, when you read it, Adam himself was also in a deep sleep. So when Eve came about, God had time to commune with Eve. Now, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly what all of that entails, but the point is that at creation, God had time with each individual to spend time, whatever that time would have been, to give instruction. So both kind of knew what it is that God expected of them. And so God said, you shall die if you eat. And we, as you continue to read, you realize in Genesis chapter 3 that, you know, the devil came as a serpent, and Eve actually went ahead, picked the fruit, and ate it. And from the moment she ate it, of course, initially she liked it, she shared it with her husband, and then after that, it seemed like, of course, guilt came upon them, and they started to hide. God, being loving, of course, sought them out, you know, where are you? And actually told them, or gave them hope that, yes, you know, your sin, death, and the consequence of that sin still continued to persist, meaning that there was no excuse for it. God didn't change because of what we did, but he made a way where the consequences, we would have hope in him to basically, you know, go back to the state of perfection. And that you get actually at the end of the Bible. When you go to Revelation, you actually see the result of the entire great controversy and how God redeemed, redeemed and, you know, eventually saved man. And so the reason why that's important is it's important to know, again, what is our position, who created us. Now, the other aspect, as far as I mentioned, there's two basic aspects as far as where did we come from, how did we come, and of course, that's evolution. Now, interestingly, people don't realize that evolution itself is a religion. Why is it a religion? Because it entails taking faith. Faith is part of both aspects. You either believe that God created you, or you believe that you came by chance. Now, interestingly, the scientists will say, well, you know, we don't have faith, and we don't want to believe in a God. Now, the reality is that the name of their God is chance. Why? Because everything they said occurred by chance. The science itself actually speaks against itself, and that's how the devil is as far as confusion, meaning that science will say nothing can come out of nothing. Science will say it takes energy to put things together. And so you find for them to say that, you know, in the beginning all this things started, the Big Bang, the, you know, the motions of gases and cooling down, even the fact of, you know, cooling down, all that entails energy. And then you'd ask the question, where did that come from? Where did the material to start the process comes from? And so that entails faith. Now, I'm glad I'm on this platform where, of course, there are people who are listening, Christians and non-Christians. And I'll use this time just to let us know that evolution has become the number one religion. Why? Because kids have to go to school, and in school, they're taught evolution. And they're given no other alternate unless they're going to a private school where it's Christianity or some other religious school that is actually telling them the opposite. And why is that important? Because as far as evolution is concerned, it gives you basically a hollow type of faith, a hollow type of teaching, meaning you came here by chance, you evolved from something, and there is really no morality, there is no purpose, there is nothing given. So when we look at what's going on in the world today and ask yourself, why is it that all these different things, you know, crime, and it seems like, you know, there is no morality. Why is it happening? Well, we have actually taught them that in the school system. You know, you ask a question, how would that be possible? So even innately, we realize that there are things that are good and things that are bad. The reason why I've spent time to actually explain that is because the first thing in health is understanding your purpose, knowing that there's a God that created you. That's the first thing. If you don't know that, then of course you cannot fulfill any purpose. And you ask yourself, what is the purpose of my existence? Well, you can ask the wise man, Solomon. In Ecclesiastes 12, he lets us know that our whole duty is to serve God. That's our duty. And so that's how you become healthy. That's how you perform the function that you have been created for. Otherwise, you can see, and I've, as a physician, I've dealt with people who basically say, listen, I came here by chance. I have some time to occupy on this earth. There's really nothing after this earth because you came here by chance. Something may happen, die by whatever, you know, reason. And so what is the reason to do anything? Why should I strive to be a doctor? Why should I strive to be any type of professional or have any type of skill? What's the purpose? And then you see it's even difficult for them to actually express love. There's, you know, why love? What is love? And so there's so many things when you miss the fundamental aspect of understanding that, listen, either you accept the God of creation or any other alternate really puts you in a position where you're already unhealthy. And, you know, even in the Bible says it's better for some to not have even been born. So after dealing with that now, then you ask yourself, all right, I accept that there is a God. Then the purpose, and that's something, of course, that we have to now seek out. You have to seek, and how do you seek? Well, just as how when we make anything, we give you a manual. You know, if you get a television, it comes with a manual. How do you turn it on? How do you change a channel? How do you do this? How do you do that? And if we understand that we ourselves are definitely not as wise as God, we, you know, who is all-knowing, you understand that, yes, he would have given us a manual of how we should, again, you know, keep our bodies, how we should strive to live, what is it that we should do. And the answer to that ends up being the Bible. The Bible starts off, and, you know, the Bible actually spent time to try to actually verify itself, meaning when I was reading the Bible and I'm wondering, why did it spend so many time talking about who begat who? You know, Adam had Cain and Seth and giving you all that genealogy and telling you the years of these. But it finally clicked, meaning that wherever you go, the first man that is referenced is Adam and his wife Eve. Nothing else gives us that beginning. And then it gives you that genealogy. And we see that that has become history. The Bible then talks about the different nations and stuff like that that would eventually come. Babylon, Medo, Persia, Greece. It goes through that. And then it brings us even to the time that we are living in. It tells us how we should be how we will be acting. And we see that. And of course, it gives us the end. And so let's focus now on the health itself, understanding that's the first aspect. So physical health. The Bible tells us that, of course, created in the garden, everything was natural. Very important to understand also that, you know, we live in a day and age where we try to make things as comfortable as possible. You know, we have remotes to turn the television off, on and off. We don't want to get up to change a channel between ESPN 1 and ESPN 2. We want to be so comfortable and relaxed. We don't even want to touch the ground to plant or do any of those things. And when you look at the Bible, you realize that while God created everything perfect, there was a job for us to do. You know, he told Adam that he was to take care of the animals, take care of his environment and all that sort of stuff. So there was a job. After sin, we know the consequence of sin entails, the Bible talks about, you know, by the sweat of your brow, you know, one had to now work. It talks about rest. It gives us all these different things. And initially one would think that this was actually something that was done as the consequence. It was basically punishment. But as you mature in scriptures and as you understand, you realize that, you know, God has never been a vindictive God. And anything that he has given us, any instructions, actually was for our own benefit. So you find that despite not being out in the fields and working and doing that sort of stuff, and there are those who have to do that, that's their job. But for those who aren't doing that, you find that they get up and they go and they do exercise. They expend energy. It was very interesting one day I was driving to work and I saw some people in my community, and you know, these were retirees and, you know, all these guys, they were walking down the road and they were, you know, picking up paper. And I'm looking at them and I actually stopped and took a picture of them. They didn't realize it, but I took a picture. And the reason why I took a picture is because I'm like, you know, perspective has so much to do with how one ends up feeling. Meaning when I get up and I jog, I feel good. I feel guilty if I don't do it. Now, as those guys were walking and picking up paper, I said to myself, look at that. They're there, they're enjoying, they're talking, they're, you know, talking, philosophizing about everything, and they're happy. And the same function, if you took prisoners out of the jail and said, listen, today you're going to go around and pick up papers, the same paper, for them it's considered punishment. You'd find that they would be hiding, not wanting people to see their position, and they'd probably be bitter. And but the same function. And so I realized that perspective has a lot to do with, you know, how we view things and even our health. Meaning that these guys going out and actually doing these work is doing exactly what, you know, God says. They're retired. They don't have to do anything. But they're actually going out and by the sweat of brow. Why is that important? Because you find that, for instance, some of the major diseases that we die from is because of limitations of our activity. You know, we find things that make our life easy, but in it being easy, it actually is to our detriment. You know, if you're not moving, you end up dying. I mean, I've dealt with that. If you have any type of machine and you saving it, and I've done so that so many times. You know, I had a bike that I hadn't ridden. I just liked to have it. Somebody said, let me buy the bike for me because you're not using it. I'm like, nah, you know, I like the bike and eventually I'll use it. And every single year I have to change the battery. Things just deteriorate if it's not using. And, you know, even our faith is like that. If you're not using your faith and you're not growing, eventually it deteriorates. You know, what you were last week or a year ago is not necessarily where you're going to be if you're not utilizing it. Things has to be used. And so you find that that's essentially what God said to Adam, that, listen, by the sweat of your brow, you shall eat. It wasn't a punishment. It was actually telling him that, listen, because of sin, there is death. To essentially bypass that, or try to delay the consequence, you're going to need to exercise. Diet is important. It says anything that has fruit. Now, I mentioned that, you know, earlier, but one of the things that I think is important and actually brings it alive to my listeners and, you know, those who I speak to is that, listen, if you're striving to make it to heaven, understand that when you get to heaven, it will be just like it was in the Garden of Eden. When you read Revelation 22, it talks about the tree of life that, you know, is going to be there. The leaves are for the healing of the nation. one of the things you're going to have to understand is that there will be no dying. Isaiah 66 says, or 65 and 66, when you read it, talks about, you know, similar to the end of Revelation, that the lion and the lamb shall lie together. Nothing will be dying in heaven to sustain life. I had that conversation with a patient and she was so distraught. I mean, she was preparing. She says, oh man, I can't wait to get to heaven. You know, I'm going to make some jerk chicken for Jesus and I'm going to, you know, do this. I mean, she just loved chicken. And when I said to her, I said, no, you know, my sis, I don't think we're going to be jerking any chicken. She was like, are you serious? I said, nah, you're going to be just like it. And the reason why that's important is because when I bring you to that aspect, when you actually start to think about that, you realize that, you know, our appetite, what it is right now, has been so corrupted that we can't even fast for a day. You know, we can't stop. And, you know, you find that the things that we do, you know, Jamaica has, and I speak as because myself, I'm from, you know, Jamaica, and they have some of the best dishes. But, you know, we love the spice and we love all that stuff. You ask yourself, you know, in the Garden of Eden, was any of those things around? No, they weren't. We ate what was raw, what was natural. Those are the things that God intended for our diet. And of course, many of the things that we eat actually kill us. So in addition to the absence of exercise, which we dealt with, you find that our appetite, and going back to, again, the Garden of Eden, that's where sin came in. Jesus' first temptation after he was baptized and went into the wilderness actually had the same issue. It was appetite. The devil said, you know, why don't you just turn stones into bread? And, you know, when you look at that, you could say, well, I really wouldn't have seen anything wrong in Jesus turning stone into bread. And you have to search to find exactly where it is that, you know, Jesus was able to find the text that says, man shall not live by bread alone. You know, that talks about the importance, of course, of studying the word. So you'll know exactly what Jesus, you know, wants you to say and wants you to do, of course, at the time when temptation would arise. Answer, again, is in the word. You know, you find that Jesus made day and night. You ask yourself, what is the, you know, why? What is the reason? Of course, he made it so that, you know, man would actually have time to rest. And studies have been shown and done that, listen, if you miss or take advantage, of actually having that rest, you'll get sick. You'll get sick. Stress comes on. You know, people who don't sleep, you find that their melatonin, their hormones that gets, you know, gets disrupted, and with the stress level, cortisone ends up increasing. You become susceptible to cancer, to different infections because of lack of sleep. As a matter of fact, one of the things you find that they use with people who are incarcerated, I shouldn't say they use it, but they've used it as punishment in the past and still do. War victims, when they get them and they, you know, want them to confess or do certain things, they put them in a position where they can't sleep. And after a while, you realize it breaks down their ability to withstand, and you know, they end up, you know, confessing or doing whatever it is that they're, you know, asked to do, which initially they would have resisted. And so sleep is important. You know, God himself, talked about rest. So then you look at sunlight, the daytime. Sunlight itself is important. You know, we've gone through a period of time when, you know, not too long ago, where they talked about, you know, sunlight and its effect, cleansiness, cleansing the system. COVID, for instance, you know, while we were dealing with COVID a few years ago, they talked about the importance of actually, you know, sunlight and helping to prevent vitamin D, the importance of vitamin D. There are actually veracity, truth to, you know, many of the things that actually we have heard. God created these things, again, for our benefit. Now, the devil would, of course, want us to do the opposite. And so you find that, you know, people end up overworking. They're doing 2-3 jobs, not sleeping. We have done everything, of course. We're in Florida, so we typically don't have a problem with sunlight. We have to actually avoid much of the sun that's there. But then there are many who refuse any sun. You know, they are in the air condition from the house to the car. They don't necessarily go up. There are many people who really haven't even spent the time to look up into the sky. I mean, I'm not talking about when the sun is there, but even at the stars. And so the absence of these things, of